Okay, Rebosai, let's go. We have a lot to do. Let's go back to our favorite Runya and Ravina before we abandon Runya and Ravina. We have this funny Dina of our Mitzra, right? Where Runya bought land on Ravina's border, and Ravina tried to use Dina of our Mitzra to be Masalik him, and somehow that didn't work because of this very, very simple to them and obvious to them, but cryptic to us statement of Arba Litzala, Arba Litzlala, which due to our, you know, cultural distance, we're not sure what they meant. Okay, but let us ask, what did they mean halachically? Meaning, Ravina's time was very clear. What was, why was there no Dina Dibar Metzra in this case? So Rashi's, as we said, his first and third shot. Remember, there were only two shot in Rashi. Just we have three shot in our Rashi. I see on my Besar Sashas, it quotes in the Maharshal that the third one is not real Rashi. Okay, that's quite possible. And we point out the Rimigash and the Ramah also took this derech. So here is Rashi in his first and third derech, and the Rimigash. And the Ramah says, because Runya was poor. Okay, after Ali, he was poor, and there's an opportunity, and it worked out for him, and it was difficult, etc. You know, the Chora, he was poor, and really, it was equally good for him to figure something else out. They still would have used Dina Bar Metzra. Yeah? Is the... I mean, we're showing him here. But yes, clearly, Balamor is also in this camp. Absolutely right. And the Balamor in Bablitzia is also in this camp. Absolutely. Okay, then what does Arba Litzlala, Arba Litzlala mean according to this? Again, it's a little less important to us what the phrase is. We're more interested in the halacha. But what does Arba Litzlala, Arba Litzlala, what does Arba Litzlala, Arba Litzlala mean? Here we have a number of fascinating mussars. Rashi's first shot says, A tzalala is a poor, you know, he basically said tzalala is a lashon of riboy. Tzalala is a poor shoemaker or something. Right, he makes things out of leather. Not a tanner, seemingly, but he makes things out of leather. It's called a shoemaker for our purposes. And tzalala is a rich, big shoemaker. They both need four loaves of bread to eat. Right, meaning the poor guy and the rich guy both need the same amount of food to eat, but for the poor guy it's really hard, and for the rich guy it's really easy. Therefore, we should help the poor guy. Rashi's second shot is Arba Litzlala, Arba Litzlala. He says Tzala is the leather, the hide rather, and Tzlala is the tanner. He says Runya, poor guy, he's a shoemaker, but he has to pay four zuz for the leather. He has to pay four zuz for the tanner to tan the leather, because he didn't tan the leather, he just cut it and made things out of it. And then by the time he sells his wares, he doesn't make any profit. Right, like,
overhead. He has a lot of overhead.
He has a lot of overhead, correct. He has a lot of overhead, and he can't make any, it's hard for him to make a profit, therefore you should have mercy on him. Okay, so what does this phrase of Dalin Litzala, Dalin Litzala, we have four different pshatim within this Derech Hanius. And the principle is the same. Some of them are more practical, some of them are more musertic, right? Rashi's first shot is Ratzan Ani Sarif. Also, David Kikaros Lechol, Kamo Asher, but it's harder for him to get. Rashi's second shot is that Runya Sarif Lehotzi. Dalid Lahore, Vidalid Le Baburski, what does he say here? Labdunim, fine. Labdunim. The Rimigash and the Yabrama have a nice Musser. What's their Musser? What? Exactly. It's still a rich guy and the poor guy. But Dalet Amos, you get in the cemetery when the rich guy dies, and Dalet Amos when the poor guy dies. And it's serious, making a more philosophical statement, right? He's saying, look, don't think the rich guy's better than the poor guy. In the end, we're all Dalet Amos 6 feet under and eaten by worms. Right? And therefore, you shouldn't, meaning often rich people think they're better than poor people, even if they don't explicate it. So really, we're all equal. A statement, a very, very nice poetic way of expressing human equality. So the Rimi Gash. That was once upon a time. Nowadays, the rich person pays an extra 30,000 shekel and gets nice what they call Kfarat Sadeh. And the poor person is covered by Bituch Lumi and they put him in a wall in Har Menuchos. Okay, but in those days, it was different. Interestingly, how, you know, but, you know, the rich and poor, Asher Ve'ani, Shnehem, Mekablin, Dalet Amos, Lekfura. And therefore, they're fundamentally equal. Okay, what is Rabbi Yotam's fundamental problem with this? Rabbi Yotam's question, which to me, I think, clearly the most interesting thing, is, says Rabbi Yotam, Ein Mirachamim, but then we're not going to answer it now, even though the answer is obvious to everyone, and then we'll analyze it. Ein Rachamim, then we never heard that in halacha, meaning I understand that in contemporary liberal society they think differently. But halacha is a rule-based system. Halachos are halachos, and the judge doesn't come in and say, we have many places in the Torah, right? An explicit pasuk. What explicit pasuk in the Torah? No, Vidal lo sedar barigo, right? You can't help a poor person. You have to pasuk in the din and let the chips fall where they may. You want to help the poor person, so give him tzedakah afterwards. But din is din. Okay, we'll answer that in a moment. Let's just see the other pshat. Rashi's third pshat is that it's a detail. Basically, everyone else wants to make it a detail of in bar mitzvah. What's his third pshat? And then, of course, he ties it into the last one, right? The what's the tie-in here to the last one? The last one is just that Ravina was always trying to fight with Runya about money. But here, Rashi Mamish ties it in. He says if Ravina was makif Runya from four sides, then, and we assume like most of the Farshin, not the Rani Yoda, it means he literally had fields on four sides, not he just built a fence where he didn't have a field. If he was makif four sides, then Ravina bought a field that was as close as possible, Runya bought a field as close as possible to his own, but Ravina was in between, right? If here is Ravina and here is Runya, he bought this one. And you might think that Ravina and Ahavin would win as Bar Metzer. The answer is Runya also counts as Bar Metzer here. Okay, and that second shot is not so clear. It doesn't seem to be even saying because he's poor, etc. It seems to be saying within Bar Metzer, you know, the guy next to doesn't beat the guy almost next to. Okay, so it seems to be a detailed bar mitzvah. I don't theoretically someone could say that really it's just rachamim for Runya. That seems to be dina for mitzvah because Runya was a bar mitzvah behefsek stay Ravina, and therefore that counts. Okay, what is Arbel Tzolov? Arbel Tzolov here, interestingly, he interprets it the same way as the first one here. He takes it the same way, but it means something different. Meaning, not something about social justice, that, you know, you need the same food that I need, and I'm rich and I have plenty, so I should be nice to you. But meaning that the guy who has a certain amount of salary, you can pay a guy the same salary and put him someplace where he makes 5 pairs of shoes a day, or the same salary where he makes 50 pairs of shoes a day, which is basically the bar mitzvah, right? If I have one field, or I have two fields next to each other, it's basically the same amount of work, but I get twice the profit, which is the idea of what's the idea of bar mitzvah? Why are you not allowed to buy the field next to mine if I want it? Because for me, for the same work, I can get twice as much produce. Because if you have two fields next to each other, you bring the oxen once, and you bring the plow once, and you have one shomer, it's called economies of scale. So it's basically saying economy of scale. Right? Economy of scale is a concept, meaning that if I do more To do twice as much cost me like 1.2 times as much. Do 10 times as much cost me twice as much. But only if they're next to each other. Right? If I want to double the size of my factory, right? With one factory in Milwaukee and one in Minnesota, it'll cost me twice as much. If I want to double the size of my factory by expanding the factory in Milwaukee, it'll cost me 1.5 times as much, so I'll make twice as much profit. So what he's saying is that Runya also has economy of scale, even though there's a little hapsik, and therefore Runya also qualifies as bar mitzvah. Okay, we're being
still needs some mida of racha in order to get Runya.
No, he bought it. He's the one who bought it. But he bought it first.
But since there is the separation.
Right, that's why I said Yesh La'ayin. Does Rashi here mean it's also Rachman because Ravina was a better bar mitzvah? He means no. The Runya and Ravina are equal bar mitzvahs. So they're two equal bar mitzvahs. The halacha is whoever chops it first, chops it first. And Runya chops it first. So I'm not convinced. What does the Rebbe of Tam himself say? That, what was the issue?
The internal field was split between both.
That Rebbe of Tam views it as like this. He says, I hope I'm going to get this right. He was makif him on dalit sides. I would even go so far as to guess that maybe this is before he was makif on dalit sides. This is fighting over this for a big time. And what did Runya buy? Runya bought this. And notice on this field, Runya's makif on one side, and Ravina's makif on three sides. Right? So Ravina says, I'm the bar mitzvah, because I'm three sides. And Runya says, what do you mean, but I'm one side? And again, once they're even, Runya wins. If they're both bar mitzvahs, Runya wins, because Runya bought it, right? Runya, Zav, and Arav. So Ravina's tiny was on the bigger bar mitzvah, and what was Runya's winning tiny, which Runya and Tom is not even such a big finish, that was also bar mitzvah meruach achas. Even though Ravina was three sides, Ravina's Havmin, it doesn't seem so strong here. Okay, but that was his Havmin. His Havmin was the dinner bar mitzvah, from bar mitzvah on one side, I'd be the guy who's bar mitzvah on super sides. From bar mitzvah on three sides, I'd be the guy who's bar mitzvah on one side. Right, meaning my top weighs out his bottom, then my two sides make me a bar mitzvah. That was Ravina's Taina. And Ravina Tam's answer was no. And what was the, what is Dala Datsala, Dala Datsala? He says, Sala and Sala means big piece of leather and small piece of leather. Nosin, Dalit, Zuzin, with Ibud, or Katan, Kimo, or Gadol. Meaning, I pay the same price again. This isn't true in all industries. Let's assume it's true in their industry that way. Sometimes, obviously, if I bring something, the bigger it is, the more they charge. If I go to car wash and I have big, you know, a big car, they charge more than a small car. No? Okay. You know, but some things, they just charge a flat rate. So he says, after all, like, what does that mean? That means a big piece of leather and a small piece of leather are basically the same thing. Likewise, one side and three sides. Okay, you have a bigger border, three sides. It doesn't matter. One side and three sides is all the same thing. And therefore, it's equating three sides to one side. That is Ravina Tam. What is the other shot in Tosos?
Rabbi Abraham.
Right? Rabbi Abraham, Rabbeinu Abraham, whoever. I don't know, I always like to call him Rabbeinu Abraham.
Who is it?
We'll call him Rish. Okay, what does he say? That, based on another Gemara, Runya was the Aris of Ravina. Or a sharecropper, right? What does sharecropper mean? That I own the field, right? This is, okay. If you don't like capitalism, then close your ears. I own the field and I'm rich and I don't have time to deal with it. You're poor and you don't own the field, but you have lots of free time, so you have no job. But it is, I give you the field. I provide the capital, the field. You provide the labor. You work the field and we split the profits. Okay, there are many different formulas for splitting the profits. So Runya was the aris, and Runya bought the field next to where he was the aris of Ravina. And Ravina said, it's next to my field. It's not next to your field. And Runya said, it counts as my field, so I'm the aris. So the question is, the bar mitzvah only an owner, or is the bar mitzvah even an aris? So there's Runya was a bar mitzvah as an aris.
Is but a not bias, an owner.
Is there bias? Is there bias to the artist because he can profit more if he produces more?
Yes. But what's the mean? When you remember, all of our mets are based on economies of scale. I serve by the field next to mine because through economies of scale, I can work the double field with only, 1.2 tons of work and make better profit. Well, you can buy a field elsewhere. So it's not fair for you to buy the field next to mine. Again, I have my factory. You buy the empty lot next door when that's the same, worth the same to you as any empty lot. When you should let me buy it, because I can expand my factory. So Rav Ram says, but think about it. If Runya is the Aris, then he also has economies of scale in the next, if he buys the plot next door, because he's the one who's the Folal Tachlis working here. So he can work the one he's an Aris and the one he owns together, and the economies of scale. So Ravina says, no, Bar Mitzvah goes by the owner. And Runya says, no, it goes by the Aris, or rather, also goes by the Aris. And he was right that it goes by the Aris. What does it have to do with Tzala and Tzala? So he says, you pay for the tanner just like you pay for the ore, meaning similar to this, but meaning something else, not Runya, meaning the owner and worker have equal status. Think about it. I pay four for the raw hide, and then I pay four for the guy who cans it. What does that prove? The actual capital is worth as much as the labor. If the capital is worth as much as the labor, then the owner of the field is worth as much as the sharecropper of the field, or rather the sharecropper. If the labor is worth as much as the capital, the sharecropper is worth as much as the owner. If the sharecropper is worth as much as the owner, then he's also a bar mitzvah. And therefore, he is the din of bar mitzvah. The last plot I found in the Rishonim, not counting subtle differences. Yes.
So what's the resolution? Halach l'maisa, we don't view din of bar mitzvah as a din and evaluate the field as more valuable given that it's not twice the size right next to each other. And it's really just about convenience of work.
Which generally goes together, right? Because it is more valuable because of the work.
Yeah, but this is great, not for me. Meaning this is halach l'maisa.
Correct. According to Rabbeinu Avraham, the question is, do we paskin like Rabbeinu Avraham in the Shulchan Aruch? That I'm not sure. Meaning, what's the chiddush din? Each way, there's a chiddush din. The chiddush din is that, rachamim al ha'ani overrides bar mitzvah. Here, the chiddush din is that a three-side bar mitzvah is not better. Oh no, not the next one. Here the din is that a bar mitzvah behefsek is equal to a bar mitzvah mash. Here's a big finish. Here is that a three side bar mitzvah is not better than a one side bar mitzvah. And here the Kiddush is that a labor bar mitzvah is equal to the capital bar mitzvah, if you'll allow me to use economic terminology. Okay, that's a Kiddush. After all, the owner might be able to kick out the Aris or might not. Meaning that the concept of the Aris, but the Aris that you can't kick out, which already makes it a little, what's a different spin on it? Okay, the last shot is the Tosos Rush, as I believe. I think these are the only shot, and then I'll just mix the match and variations. The Tosos Rush, none of the Tosos are into this. The Tosos Rush says that he ties it in again to Ravina, had fields or at all four sides of Runya. Question, how did Runya get to work?
Path.
What?
He had a path.
He obviously had the right to a path through, what do we call that? Lawyers call that easement. Right? He has the right to a derech in Ravina's field. How he had that right is not my problem right now. But obviously, it's obvious that if he had a field in the middle, he had the right to a derech through Ravina's field. So what's the case here? The case here is, he has like a little path here. And he bought this field. Right, this would be fine. This was supposed to be 2 This was supposed to be three. Okay. He had a little path. What's pshat? Ravina says on the bar mitzvah, it's next to me. And he's not being radicalized like that. They had Rashi on the Hefsek. And what did you say? No, it's next to my path. Since I have the right to a path, I count as a bar mitzvah. That's fascinating. If I don't actually own the field to plow it and to harvest it, but I do have rights, partial ownership rights, partial rights in this field, does that make me a bar mitzvah? So Ravina said no, and Rav Anar Girsa of Safra Beit Rav Yeva, somebody like Rav Samar Beit Rav Yeva, said yes. That's the Kiddush. Runya was bar mitzvah through Runya's Derech obviously bar mitzvah, abutted the field, right? Okay, and what's the Chiddush Din? The Chiddush Din is that Azokos Derech counts as Bailos for the Din of bar mitzvah. Okay, how do he interpret Dala Litzala vid Dala Litzala the same way as?
Isn't there,
the same way as Rabbi Tam. He says, you pay four for a big high, four for a small high. Likewise, it's the same value whether you have a big field or a small path. All right, small path equals a big field. Small path equals a big field. Okay, that's the finish. Of course, there's also Rosh. Those are the five shots. Now, let's just get to the Lumbus for a second. Did you want to say something?
But an easement is a type of bond. Somebody owns a land, but legally the person, when you're talking about easement, has the legal right to go through that.
Correct.
And cannot be stopped.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And that's what he's saying. Okay, it's still some lower form of violence, but it's still a violence. Okay, actually, we'll get to in the above exactly, or we'll start talking exactly what it is. Let's spread them out. How do you answer being the Tom's Tasha of Ein Merachamim Hadin? Here, you have a fundamental machlok to be shown. What does the Gilyon Tosfos say in Shidin Gemetzes? How does he answer the question? How do we answer the question on Rashi? We have two ways to answer the question. One is the Gilyon Tosos. Said the Gilyon Tosos, you're right, Amar Rachman Medin. Rav Safra Beit Rav Yeva was not posking. He wasn't posking at all. Rather, he was just giving Musar, which is not so crazy. Generally, if you are asking, you say, okay, what did Rebbe Yoshev paskin on this Shaila? The answer is, he paskin a bird in the hand of Rebbe in the mush. Say, that's a little peculiar. Like, I expect the Psak Halacha to be in more halachic language, not to be a folk saying. And yet he answered with a folk saying. We didn't know what it was. They knew what it was. Dalet Zola, Dalet Zola. So, says Gilyon Tosfos, this shows that he wasn't giving a Psak Halacha. Psak Halacha, he wouldn't have given a Psak Halacha. Rather, he was giving Musar. And we find a similar case in Bava Metzia, right? That even when really you should lose invested, if you are a big rabbi, a big halakhah, a big tzaddik, then Besdin pressures you, maybe even forces you, but at least pressures you to go lift the Mishra Sadin. So really says he was telling him to go lift the Mishra Sadin. That defends Rashi very nicely. And the Truma Sadeshin is Medayek, that's the sheet of the riff. Why? Because now here it's a little tricky, because if you look in our riff, I know I didn't tell you to look at the riff because I just wasn't really sure how to be Mitzayan to this to this mess. But if you look in the riff, it's in parentheses. Ravina, Zavan, Ara, et cetera, Arvel, Solva, Arvel, Solva, in parentheses. What does it mean if it's in parentheses in the riff?
Means it wasn't there.
Or I mean, someone thinks it was. Someone thinks it wasn't. It's hard to tell. Okay, our Gerson Mikayos is also funny. Usually, if you want to know if something's really in the riff or not, you look at Mikayos. If he has a deeper maskel, that means it was in the riff. If he says Garcina Bigmara, etc., that means it wasn't in the riff. Here, the new Gerson Garcina Bigmara in brackets. So we're not sure In our, we look at our books, we're confused whether it's in the Rif or not. On the one hand, maybe it's in the Rif, and the Mukhi Yosef has a Dibur Maskel, or maybe it's not in the Rif, it was just added later by accident by the printer, and it's just take your seat of Gemara. In any case, the Truma Sadeshin didn't have the experience in the Rif. It says, why did the Rif leave it out? The answer is, if it did, why would he leave it out? We could learn all kinds of important deed of Bar Mitzvah. If he didn't want to quote it here, he should at least quote it in the Bavitzi on the Sugi Bar Mitzvah. He left it out because it was just Musar. Say a story that there is no Chiddush Din whatsoever. Really, the rich guy had the din over the poor guy, no Chiddush Din. But since the rich guy was a big rabbi, they pressured him to compromise the old thing, which was that the rich doesn't have the bread. That's just general life and midos, etc. So the Gilead of Tosos and the Rif, Lefi, the Trumas Hadeshin, says it was Lefi Mishur Sadin. And of course, the Rachamim, Lefi Mishur Sadin. That's the whole point of Lefi Mishur Sadin. They don't think you're Rachamim. That is very simple. However, the Balamor, I don't think that's Pshat and Rashi at all. And you probably already know why I don't think that's Pshat and Rashi. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised people had patience and didn't shout at me already. And the Balamor definitely doesn't think that. The Balamor definitely thinks it's Din, right? Why do they give you the Balamor besides the fact that it's cute? What does the Balamor say? The Balamor says in the Sugya of Bar Mitzvah, he said, here we are. Some people learn from this. The Gemara says women and orphans don't have din of bar mitzvah. It means they can buy anything and their neighbor can't kick them out because it's hard for them to do business. So you see from here, likewise, if the neighbor just needs to get rich, but the other guy who bought it is a poor guy who has trouble making a living, then the guy who has trouble making a living beats the rich neighbor. And that's what my father also wrote in his Megillas Nechama. And some people bring a proof for this from Ravina and Runya, but it's obviously Rashi's pshat. The Melchamos, in his classic acerbic Lashon, says that his father gave him Tanchum and Shel Hevel in the Megillas Nechama. And he says, it's not true. He says, and everyone knows the right pshat in Runya and Ravina, and that's not it. Okay, what was the right pshat? We have four possibilities. Or maybe he had another one. Who knows? In any case, but the Balamor thinks that that's the din, right? He doesn't say that only because Ravina was a tzaddik and looking at Shem's side, the Balamor thinks that it's a din. And I think the Mashmas of Rashi is also that it's a din. It's hard to tell. Certainly the Balamor thinks it's the din. Oh, then we have the question. So what's the answer to the question of Ein Merachim B'Din? How come here we're Merachim B'Din? Exactly.
We can't hear.
Okay, sorry. If we defend Ra'al Amor and maybe Rashi, right, saying normally Merachim Adin, but this thing is subjective in the first place. Normally you don't subjectively Merachim Adin, but this thing is only subjective in the first place, but Sisa Yashar Tov, it's not a real din. If it's only a Sisa Yashar Tov, it's a moral judgment, then we have to use our ethical judgment. So what do we and Tom not like about that?
It could be that the way he's magdir that took him like the Sisa Yashar Tov is that Hinami is kind of more open, but as soon as the Rabbanan goes there, a particular deen with as a kium of that pasa, then that becomes the primary concern. Okay, Hinami, there are other ways to be with high aim,
okay,
but
good.
You can't take
the what does Rabbi Yutam respond? Here it's fascinating. I think this is probably what Rabbi Yutam would respond, what Rabbi Yutam himself sounds like, right? So, what can you respond? Meaning, let's say better. Why would you disagree with the Balamor? Right? By the way, who also agrees with the Balamor? That we saw the Urza Rua, right? The Urza Rua is quoted in the Tumas Hadeshin. He also got to look at it. So, why does Rabbi Tam and others, why do Rabbi Tam and others? Disagree here. The mashmos of Rabbi Tam. The mashmos of Rabbi Tam is in Merachim Adin. You could say no. It started as Basisa Yashar Tov, but they made it into a din. That's the way halacha works. Sometimes the Basisa Yashar Tov is not halacha; it's extra halachic. Being a nice person, that's fine. Being a nice person, you always have to use your ethical judgment in this situation. But this was a din of the bar mitzvah. It started as Basisa Yashar Tov, became a din. Once it becomes a din, Yikov Adin is Sahar. That's what Yoni wants to say. They say, no. It started, Dina Dibar Metzra started as Yashar V'Tov, but it became a din. Once it becomes a din, Ein Merachim V'Din. There's another possibility. The other possibility, which the Shuvah Sedeshin is there. What does the Shuvah Sedeshin want to say? Shimon's Nesh will say, no. I have a different reason why you can't let the poor person win here, who's Dr. Lo Shaita. Because, after all, where's Rashi in the Orthodox where the Balamor coming from? The Gemara says, a Yisomim and Isha, okay, let's assume he's an unmarried Isha, big deal. Yisomim, you can't have Dina Bar Metzor against them. Why? Meaning, if orphans buy the field next to me, I can't tell them that I have rights to the field. Why? Because they're orphans. We have to be nice to them, right? And it's hard for them to find a field because it's hard for orphans to do business, etc. So what do we see from here? Says the Ur Zeruah, says the Balamor. We see, man, it's subjective. You have to look at each situation, on its merits. Or are we going to say that? To say that? No, they made it a din. Whatever exceptions they built into the din, and the Gemara and Bavitzia, they built it. Whatever exceptions they didn't build in, they didn't build it. There's another possibility. How is Yesomim a different exception than an Ani who's having a hard time? What does the Truma Zadeshna say? What do you think? What's the difference between saying there's an exception of orphans and there's an exception of people who have a hard time, making it through the month, making a living, people who are in trouble?
Someone can't
believe you
got it.
What? I'd say better. Think about it from a bureaucratic perspective, perhaps. That's a bad word.
I mean, by all that.
It's very easy to define who's Yisomim. Very easy to define who's Yisomim. Yisomim or Yisomim. You don't need a judgment call as to who's Yisomim. Isha and Yisomim. In the days of the Gemara, it was very easy to define who's an Isha. You know who's an Isha, you know who's a Yisomim. When you say an Ani V'dachik L'Shaito, it's very hard to know who's an Ani V'dachik L'Shaito. What does it mean? You make under the 1.5 times the federal poverty level. How do you know it's an Ani V'dachik L'Shaito? How do you know who's okay, who's not okay? Obviously, in court, everyone's going to make themselves an Ani V'dachik L'Shaito. It's very hard, and the judge has to make a judgment call in every case. It's unpredictable, and it's totally subjective. Maybe What does the Truma Zadeshen say? Says the Truma Zadeshen. Says the Truma Zadeshen. Because in court, we need to have rules with certain categories that the judges apply. It can't be every judge decides if this guy really needs help or doesn't need help. You know, judge can't decide who's a nice guy, who isn't. Can't just decide who's a needy fellow, who isn't. That's too subjective. Says the Truma Zadeshen. Because, and then what do we do? Isha Nisomim. Isha Nisomim are built in exceptions to the din. Ani is not. Isha Nisomim are in Shas. Ani is not in Shas. The Truma says differently. He says, no. Isha Nisomim are objective categories. Categories. A guy dies, he leaves a little kid. That's an objective category. A woman, let's assume that an unmarried woman who has trouble doing business in the old days, is an objective category. But honey, the dachuk lo shato is not objectively definable. And therefore, we can't let whatever judge you happen to show up, whatever dying you happen to show up, well, have his own judgment and biases, etc., and decide who's poor, who isn't.
Is this an issue of Natan Recha the Shira?
Yes, Natan Recha the Shira. And what's a nafkamina? The Truma Zadeshen says, here's the nafkamina. The nafkamina is there was a minhag. In some countries, they apply Din of Bar Mitzvah to apartments, not only to fields. It says someone homeless. What about someone homeless? Someone who doesn't own a house, doesn't have anywhere to live. Does someone who doesn't have anywhere to live get an exemption for bar mitzvah? I have an apartment, you buy the apartment next door. The din of bar mitzvah are sock and shelf and arms applies to apartments, but you don't have anywhere to live. If you don't have anywhere to live, there's no place to live. Does that beat my rights to bar mitzvah? By logic, of course it should, but you should sleep on the street so I can have a bigger apartment. I understand economies of scale. Obviously, it's more fair to let me buy the apartment than they're selling this apartment. It's worth more to me than it is to you because I can expand my house, my apartment into it. You can get an apartment. There are no apartments for sale. What if you have no place to live? So says the Truma Zadeshen, that's enough for me now. He says, if you have nowhere to live, then I'm moda, that's an exemption to bar mitzvah. That's something that can objectively quantifiable and determinable by a diet. But just you're poor and having a hard time, you know what? Everyone's poor and everyone's having a hard time, right? Who doesn't have a time they're poor and having a hard time nowadays? See, that's too subjective. So he says that's an afkamina. An afkamina is, what about a low bias, someone who has no place to live? So he would say he is, that overrides Dina de Bar Mitzvah. I think maybe Rabbi Natan himself would say no. That it does not override Dina's Bar Mitzvah. Because after all, it doesn't say anywhere in Shas that someone that's nowhere to live overrides Dina's Bar Mitzvah. So the Truma Zadeshen thinks this is a nafkamina. I mean, he doesn't say it's a pure nafkamina. What he basically says is, even if Rosh is wrong or Rabbi Natan is right, and aim around the din, you think that also means, basically it says, let's say we pass like Rabbi Natan. You think that means it's a din, yikov din is a higher, whatever's in Shas is in Shas, whatever's not in Shas is not in Shas. And I say wrong. That just means you can't use your personal judgment as to who's more needy and deserving, who's less needy and deserving. But if there's an objective criteria, like you have no place to live, then that still applies. And basically what he wanted to say was, even though our minhag is that if someone has no place to live, they're exempt from Dina Bar Mitzvah, we still don't think a poor person is exempt from Dina Bar Mitzvah. And then he says, and therefore, someone who does have some place to live, but Taina is that it's not a good place for him and it's not appropriate for his family, etc., then they don't get an exemption to Dina Bar Mitzvah because that's something subjective that the judge has to decide. That is an interesting case. Aren't there objective definitions of an Ani in Halakha? There are, but the assumption, it's an interesting question. The Truma Zadeshen assumes they're not going to be relevant here. You know, generally, it's a little funny. If you're buying land, Now, of course, maybe he's buying land for 199 zuz, and he's objectively an ani. But you know, I assume that practically they were thinking of someone who is not necessarily the getter of ani for like a shechanpeya. And that's why it got so tricky. Okay. Anyway, these are the different shots from Rabbi Ravina. Fascinating machlokas between Rashi and Rabbi Natan. And let's be honest, Lechora, all the Bali Tosos who disagree are against Rashi. Even Mamshad and Rashi is against Rashi. Rashi's a Chiddush in Rachman Bedin. Either Rashi never met Rachman Bedin, he just met Lefnei Mishras HaDin. Or in this din we're Merachim, because the whole din is, I wouldn't say Rachman, it's just Yashar Tov to start with. If it's only fairness to start with, you have to be fair by being Merachim. What we're being time to say that. Either he'd say, you're right, it's only fairness to start with, but once the name is a din. Or you might say, you're right, it's only fairness to start with, but we still need to be able to apply it. In order to apply it, you need objective criteria, not subjective criteria. Yes, all right. And we'll go back.
Is there just the first answer? Like, everything is different between how some of the women explain it, that the top was just giving an ideal verbina to eat versus like a more halachic approach, that this is a halachic process of first you tell him the nice thing and then passing it in.
Okay, that's really, you're getting into the question of kofen. You're really getting the question of what's called kofen, lifting your shirts, I think. That's something that's something different thing. Right, that's really my focus over there. So he goes from Omen, right, from Ramatia. You know, is there a difference between advice of the Mishra Sedin and sometimes the Mishra Sedin becomes a din? I think that's what you're asking, no?
Correct. Well, just the Yadra Makir says that, like, I want to get ready to learn is that any single time we're dealing with, first we'll tell you the nice thing, and then we'll let you do what you want, basically.
That is a.
I was just saying that, or Tom was just telling Ravina a nice thing to do.
Correct. You're right. Meaning I should even put the other on the board, right? And fair enough.
Rav Sachar is only using the word
etc. He boiled the deal la chuchil or is on duye, but nonetheless, right? We should put it on the board here. I think you're right. It went from the board. He says explicitly that he can do what he wants. We just start impressions of the might be doing the telling him the right thing to do versus sort of asking he must do the right thing. That's a subtlety and different. We show them sound different. So you're right. I'm going to say, but I'm going to leave that for now. We're not going to get into it. Okay. Right, your Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Sorry. If we have a wall between us, me and Ozzy have a wall between us, our chatzers, and it falls, then obviously we're chayim to rebuild it all down. That's obvious for us. If all Hezek Yishmei Hezek, we have to build in the first place. Clearly, we have to rebuild it. Remember that phase of the days. Iman of a Lashmei Hezek admits you have to rebuild it. We assume he paid. What if only one guy built? Let's say it's obvious. We have proof. I'm the one. I have receipt. I paid the contractor to build the wall. Ozzy owes me half the price. We assume he paid unless there's proof that he didn't pay. So what if it was more than dollar amos? What if it's 9 amos? I say I like the 9 amos wall. And Ozzy says, ma'apetom, halachically you don't need it. Then I can't be mechayim. Of course, if I want to build it myself, I can. But I can't make him pay. It's my optional thing. But some because keep in mind, a 4 amos, a dalet amos wall is good for separating chatzeros. What's the point of dalet amos? Is that, you know, unless you're a very, very exceptional person, you can't see over it. But dalet amos is not good for a house. If your ceiling is dalet amos long, now that might depend a little what you hope the shear of an amos was. You know, the chaznish might give you a little more leeway here. But clearly a standard height for a ceiling is higher than dalet amos, right? According to Chaim Noah, you really, it's very, very, it's very unpleasant. You know, like my head would hit the ceiling if it was a dalet amos wall. And even with the Kalanish, okay, that's not the minimum of how you build a proper house. So what if I built a 6 amos wall between me and Ozzy? And then Ozzy starts building another wall, 20 feet away from it, obviously trying to like square it off, and then he'll put a roof, and then he'll make a house out of it. So he's going to use my high wall as the wall of his house. So what he wants to use it, even though he didn't actually put the ceiling, we got the love as hakol. We make him pay for all of it, because once he wants to use it, then he has to pay. And in this case, the chazaka, as we'll see soon, is adraba. We assume now he owes me to pay me for the extra two amos. We assume he has not paid unless he proves that he paid. But that's the Gemara's discussion. Let's stick with the Gemara's discussion, the assumption who paid, who didn't pay. The really only the Mishnah discusses the actual chiyuv to pay. He has to pay if he built a wall facing it, even though he didn't put lo nasan alav es hatikra, exactly what it means, the lo nasan alav es hatikra. Rashi says that it means he didn't build a ceiling. But he's going to build a ceiling, so he's still chayev. Because clearly he wants to use my wall. Rabbeinu Gershom here says, just there are two different perushim, what it means. I don't know if I can successfully draw this on the board. But it says Rashi. Very important. It says Rashi, there is in between us, Reuben, Shimon, there is the 6 on the wall, and what do I do without getting into the bug yet? It says Rashi, I build a 6 on the wall here with no ceiling. Oh, so why am I chayev? Because we know why am I building a wall here and a wall there? So that makes a room. Obviously, I'm going to put the ceiling. According to Gershom, it was a little different case. I build a wall here, 6 amos, and I build a ceiling, and the ceiling, I don't have books. The ceiling is on pillars, it's not on a wall. I put the ceiling up on the pillars. Right, I build the ceiling, and I put it on pillars. So I say I don't need this wall. My ceiling doesn't rest on his wall. I said, I'm not using your wall at all. Nonetheless, you have to pay for Rashi. I'm not doing anything. I did nothing. No, but I'm clearly using your wall because I'm going to put the ceiling. Why else would I build that wall if I'm not going to put a ceiling on your wall? Right? I will put a ceiling on your wall. Right? Because what does Rashi say? That it will be on top of your wall. Rabbeinu Gersh did it never on your wall. I was clever. I tried to weasel out of it. I built a wall here and then I put pillars here to hold the edge of the ceiling. My ceiling doesn't touch your wall, so I say, I'm not using your wall. The answer is, I'm still using your wall. I'm not using your wall to support my ceiling, but it's still the wall of my house. I didn't build another wall. I just put up a few pillars. So your wall is still the wall of my house. So I'm still, without touching it, I'm still using it. Okay, the Rishonim here, the Ramban, and others, the Lashon is a little tricky, but they basically say, even according to Rashi, how do we know? Maybe you'll put pillars. And the answer with Rabbeinu Gersh is that even if you put pillars, they were still using it as a wall of his house. Okay, so Rashi says it's going to hold my ceiling. Rabbeinu Gersh says that even if it doesn't hold my ceiling, it's still the wall of my house. Unless my ceiling touched it, but is not held up. But either way, I have to pay. The question I'll be wondering this: why do I have to pay? And this is going to be a little bit of a deja vu. Why do I have to pay just because I used the wall? So what does Tosfos say? Why do I pay just because I use the wall? Nana, exactly. Ah, but Zenanev Zeluchasser is Potter. So it's either Zenanev Zechasser, Tosfos holds even a tiny chisaron counts as chaser. What's the tiny chisaron? What's the tiny chisaron? The tiny chisaron is that he lost money because of me. He built the wall he wanted. That's also, no, he lost money because of me, because the only reason he built the wall is so I wouldn't stare at him, I would do Hezekriya. Ah, Hezekriya is only until Dalet Amos? Yeah. Because he's a tiny chashem Hezekriya even above Dalet Amos. After all, I could stand on a stool and spy on him. And therefore, he only built this wall to protect himself from my small Hezekriya. And therefore, that's Nidr Chaser, like I made him lose money. Okay. Not the kind of chaser you could sue for, but that tiny chaser that I made him lose money by just existing and it being possible that I would stand on a stool and watch him, and therefore he built a wall 6 amos to protect himself, that's called chaser. His other answer, he knows that's a bit Kiddush, it's the Giloy Das. Remember, Tos L'Shitase, we pointed out, Zen and Zelo Chaser with Giloy Das is Chayev. So here you have Giloy Das. So what's the Yesod HaChiyov? In the Mishnah, says Tosfos, either plus chaser or plus Giloy Das. What is Rabbeinu Yonah say? What does Rabbeinu Yonah say?
Because he
owns right? Rabbeinu Yonah was on the covers, right?
Because he owns half.
Ah, please, another one. Gaglam Sakol came in the gully like Michali Mashikbia Havir, Midal Ramsal Mala, Miyad Kona Chatsia Kotel, Fisha Zach Solo Chatsero. He says, what do you mean? This wall was on his property, right? Remember, the Dal Ramsal wall, we each have to give half the real estate and half the price. Then he built up higher, which means half the wall is on my property. If half the wall is on my property and I'm Migala Das that I want it, then I'm Kona the half the wall that's on my property. Once I'm Kona, the half the wall, then Tosfos apparently thinks I'm not Kona. No, I'm just Nene. And he says, oh, Kenyan, says Rabbeinu Yonah, because of Kenyan's Chatzer, Kona, Chatzi, HaKotel, meaning he always owned half of the bottom of the wall. He also owns half the top wall. So it's Machlokes, because of Nene or because of Kenyan Chatzer. Again, very similar to what we asked earlier. Is it because of the manner of the original 600 Tosfos over Shos, which might be because my property now owns more. So is it that if I'm a Galad Das that I want to use this wall, then I'm being Kona it? Or is it that I'm being Nana? What might be a Nafgamina? What might be a Nafgamina? Whether I'm Kona it, whether the Tiv is for Kenyan or for being Nana? So I thought maybe you could say nafkamina is something that the Gemara does not discuss explicitly, the Nesivos discusses. Let's say he builds a wall of gazes, and I'm so make a wall of levanim. He builds gazes, I'm so make levanim. How much my nana? I'm only nana the amount of levanim, lechora, right? That's what everyone except for some unknown Rishonim quoted in the Magen Mishnah, well, in the previous sugya said, if he built 3 walls of gazes and I built 1 wall of levanim, I only have to pay levanim because that's only my handah. My handah is only levanim because that's how strong my house is. So maybe you could say an afkamina is if there's a kotel gazes, it's samach lo kotel levanim. If he has Tosvanda, then you should only have to Mishalim the May Levanim. Because that's my Hana. My Hana is now I have a house. Again, the house only is good as its weakest link. One tiny house Levanim, then I only want the Levanim house. I only then I have a Levanim house. I don't have a Gazis house. But if you would say I was Kona, then I would have to pay. Once I was Kona, I don't care why I was Kona, how I was Kona. Maybe I was Kona because I needed it all. Sometimes you're Kona things because you don't need them all. You never bought things, you didn't need it all, just needed some of it. Happens all the time, right? Happens all the time. Then you throw out the rest sometimes.
That's good.
Right. Sometimes you buy something more than you need, but you buy it anyway, right? So maybe that's enough, Gamina. If so, then the Nesivos is saying something very interesting because I haven't seen the Rishonim Acharonim, it's most Rishonim Acharonim, I mean, explicitly deal with it. There's a fascinating Nesivos who says, Olachor Kasha, he asks. Why in the Sugya Makedanika, he says, If there's a gilui da'as, he only has to pay for the price of what he built. That's the right, if you make the fourth wall of the kingdom, you only pay kingdom. So here, I'm basically coming. I obey the fourth wall of the kingdom. I should only obey the main. Second wall, what's the difference? But Hachami, the sasa mashma, meaning he knows he has no proof. It's mashma from the stima, from the silence of the shofan earth, that even if I buy levanim, I have to pay for gazes. And also, why does Chidim Rav and Makav and Nika say I only have to pay when he comes over here? No one says that. Okay, not necessarily such a mocher question, because many shofan hold that Chidim Rav admits I have to pay fully if I was Megaladas. But in any case, what does he answer? The Nesivus's answer is, and therefore, he says the fees and nicker she in return list of tikra gamke ain't sorry for shalom rak fee mashin. And what does he say? He says tzveidinim and goes back to Rashi and Ben Gershom. Give me a second. What's his tzveidinim? Therefore, says the Nesivos, Beis Dinim. What are the Beis Dinim? If I want to actually build on that wall, I can't claim the right to build on the wall if I'm not willing to purchase it, right? I can't say I'm actually going to build on your wall, but I'm not going to buy half of it. No, if you build on something, you're buying it. However, that's why I build on it. What if I just want to be net? I don't want to build. Never been a Gershom. I want to use it because it's going to be all my house, but I'm not touching it. You're not touching it. You don't have to buy it. Then it's only Chiv of Nene. Says the Nesivas Beis Dinim on our Sugya. If it's Samach Alav Tikraso, then it's Midin Kinyan and Mishalem Dimei Gazis or Kafi Masha Gadar. But says the Nesivas, if it's, he doesn't explicitly quote the scenario for a Gershom, but he just says, I'll give you his lashon. He says, "Im nikar she'ena rutzono lismach alav tikra, gam kein." Right? He doesn't want to be so much the tikra. I assume that means you're in a Gershom. If it's the case where lo samach alav tikra so, right? This is basically the case of Rashi. First is the case of Rabbeinu Gershom. Rashi and Gershom are not first things we did, and they're both saying it's one din, and this is the din. Then it's only the din nana, and it's only the din nana, he's only mishaling the Me'levayim, or his case was Me'etzim, whatever it may be. Says that Nesivah is actually say din in our Mishnah, and Rashi and Gershom are both right, but they're two totally different dinim. Rashi goes with Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Gershom goes with Tosfos. He doesn't mean Rashi himself, but Rabbeinu Yonah himself with this, but Nesivah thinks. And he thinks they're doing it in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch says you have to pay for it, seeing like you pay all of it in the Arba Ed. And likewise, anytime you see he's Nana, he has to pay what he's Nana. So I don't know if I'm Medaik so much. He says Medaik in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if I brought the Shulchan Aruch here, but he's Medaik in the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to pay. Some of Kotel, you have to pay. And there am I that anytime you see his nana, he has to pay what his nana. He says, look, some of Kotel, whatever, etc., you have to pay mash, all of it. Nana, you'll bear your nana, and that's where he gets it. Say, dinam, that if you built on it, then you must own it. You can't build on something unless you own it. And therefore, he's Komek, King, and Chatzar, and he has to pay the whole price. But if you don't build on it, you just use it as Hana without touching it, then you can't say you had to buy it. I didn't touch it, but you have to buy it. Rather, just be the nana. I mean, the nana, you only pay with your nana. And if you build a brick house, you only nana wood. If you build a brick house, you only nana brick. If you built an aluminum shed, you're only nana the price of aluminum. Okay, that's a very nice pesivas, right? Says tzveidinim. What you could have said is, as an afkamina, really every tzveidinim, I structured this wrong, every tzveidinim is really, see, am I right? Every tzveidinim is really just combining two nafkaminas. Every tzveidinim is, by definition, a combination of two nafkaminas. What do I mean by that? You could have said a nafkamina is, could have said another nafkamina is, ulai nafkamina, lo samach alav tikraso. According to Rabbi Yonah, maybe then you'd be putter, because if I wasn't so many for tikra on it, then I'm sure I want to buy it.
And according to Tosos, you for sure be chayav, right? Because I still nene. You put together two nafkaminas and you say both nafkaminas are right. Whenever two nafkaminas are right, you have to say din, right? Both nafkaminas are right. Alt Rabbeinu Yona, alt Kinya Chatzer, you're only chayav your samach tikra, but you're chayav pay everything. Alt nene, you're chayav your weren't so much tikra, but you only have to pay kipisha nene. Okay, that is the tzvi din of our sugya, and that in our Mishnah, the sugya of the Mishnah, and now we're going to move on to the Gemara. Yes, questions on the Mishnah. And
just in terms of the Rishonim, is this the first one agree with?
I can't prove that any Rishon agrees with the Nesivos. As a matter of fact, if you ask me, my impression is that Tosfos doesn't use the Nesivos. It says it's one thing and it's my thing. Mm-hmm. And the Rishon doesn't use the Nesivos. It says it's one thing and it's my thing. But the Nesivos thinks the Shulchan Aruch agrees with that.
Okay.
What are the Tosfos in second shot? In the Hase? So why does it make a difference to be so important?
Because you only hire for chaser if you're net. If he wasn't selling the chaser, they co-sell, but he was the chaser and not net. Right? Oh, you need net and chaser. And he's not, if you build a 6 amma high co-sell and I don't a wall and I don't stomach anything, then maybe I was machasu a tiny bit, you know, in some subtle way. But I wasn't net, so why should I pay? And I'm like, it's true. You build a high wall, it doesn't help me at all. Or right, it helps give me some extra unnecessary privacy that's, you know, worth half a penny. Like there's certainly not a penny, but that's not much of a hana. Okay. Says the Gemara, I'm Reish Lakish HaKal, V'yazman L'chavir, I'm L'o Pratik V'dot Zmani, Eino Ne'aman U'levai, She'yifr B'zmano. Right? If I make a time, right? We make a time the loan is due. I lend Tzvi money, and I say it's due in 4 months. And Tzvi makes a peculiar claim, and says, 3 months later, claims he paid. Right? He claims he paid the loan early. Says Reish Lakish, Eino Ne'aman. Tzvi is not Ne'aman. He has to pay again. Quote unquote again. Why? Levi Shavarz on a Halavai Gil Shvam time. Meaning it's hard enough in the real world to get anyone to pay their debts on time. No one pays early. No one pays debts early. Abai Rabbi Dhammar Joy. Abai Rabbi disagree. Avinash Parag is money. No, people do sometimes pay early. Why? Why would someone pay early? If you were a classic economist, you would agree that no one pays early, right? Because having money for a certain amount of time is worth money. So why would you give that up, right? Theoretically, why would I pay early? I could put the money in a CD for a week and make interest, right? But Abai and Rava are more contemporary economists. And what a contemporary economist takes into account that the classic economist did not. No one's holding. Psychology, human nature, correct. They pointed out that humans are not actually rational actors, right? They used to view humans as rational actors when you went to economic school. And now all the chidushim are based on the discovery of America, as it were, that taka, humans are not rational actors. I could have told them that a long time ago. But no, I guess things have to develop, you know, in a certain fashion. You know, Hegel would approve. In any case, Zimnin, the mystery of Lizuka, because sometimes he'll happen to get money. Amr Azel, the Ephraim, say, let me go pay my debt. The Haitian is lowly tardon, so you won't bother me later. Meaning, a person wants to get rid of the burden. Oh, if he has money, why not just save the money for later? What if he needs it? What if he can invest it, etc.? The answer is, it's nice to get the load off your shoulders. Right, so if I have the money, I might pay early so that I'll get the load off my shoulders and I won't have to worry about it later. Okay, that makes psychological sense. I'm maybe a bit of an epicurus, but I don't know. I identify with a buyer broker here. I'm a bit of an epicurus, that's not the halacha. But all right, at least I'm not more of an epicurus than a buyer
broker. Is it a disagreement on how to proceed with investing and saving? That's my own as well.
Okay, Tanan. Now, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Right? Tanan, Becheska Shinosan Ashiv Rai Shalom Nasan. For the first dollar amos, we assume he paid until proven otherwise. Hechi dami. What's the case? If you say I paid on time, what's on time? What do we think now is on time? When the construction ended, right? I shouldn't have to pay until they finish the construction, right? You're never heard of paying before you finish the job. If you say, no, I paid on time. I'm supposed to pay when the contractor finishes building the wall or you finish building the wall. And I paid when you finish building the wall. Shita, Becheska Shinasan. Obviously, is Becheska Shinasan, meaning this is a Milvapal pen, not a Milvapal Shtar, right? There's no promissory document here. It's just building a wall. The rule, every milval peg, you're nemlach to say parati. Everyone knows that. You don't need a Mishnah for that, right? If Leo lends me 1,000 shekel without a shtar, and I claim I paid him, of course I'm nemlach to say I paid him. Yeah, that's the kol dar kol. You always nemlach to say you paid. Why would we assume someone didn't pay? So that's too obvious. Can't be the Mishnah. I'm elalav. The amrali pretty would be tosai. Must be. He claims that he paid. I'm not going to get into Tosos' questions we're asking Uba Bismano yet. Yeah, I'm just going to read it in a naive fashion. He claims he paid early. Ah, that must be the Mishnah's Kiddush. He claims he paid early. Alma of an Ishtar goes to Tosim. This proves, like a Vayin Rava, that a person really would pay early. Okay, so we have a proof that you pay early because our Mishnah has to have a Kiddush. The Kiddush that you're believed say you paid early, and then it's like a Vayin Rava. How does Rish Lakish defend himself? Shani Hach, the Shafa Vashafas, in the who know here it's different. Every row of stones, bricks, whatever, is this man. Meaning, what does Rish Lakish defend himself? He says, yes, he claims he paid before the work was done. But that's not early. That's on time. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is, clearly, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, if he claims to pay before the wall was finished, he's Naaman. Abayin Rava say, because you're Naaman, say you paid with no Samano. Rish Lakish says, no, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is you might have thought that was Betos Mano, but really that is Mano, because every row of bricks is really the time. Okay, so because it's not like I let you money and I make terms to pay it back in 30 days or 60 days. Here, I'm supposed to build the wall with you. Every dollar that you spend, I'm supposed to pay you back for half of it right away. Why should you have to lay out the money? We're equally high. As a matter of fact, really, I should have paid before you even started building the wall. Okay, therefore, you never pay early, you're only paying on time. So Rish Lakish defended. Tashma, how about the Seifa? The Cheska Shlo Nasa Hashir Raisha Nasan. In the case of the wall was higher than Dalet Amos, was 6 Amos, I don't have to pay. But if it's 6 Amos and I'm so much a Kotel, then I do have to pay. And then we assume I didn't pay till proven otherwise. Hey, Chidama, what's the case? Elaim, the Armalei Parti was Mani. If you say, if the claim was that I paid on time, am I low? Why would the Mishnah say he's not able to say he paid on time? What would be on time? On time would be when he was so much a Kotel. Right? A time is when he built the other wall nearby. Until then, he wasn't chayv to pay, but as soon as he built the other wall, he's chayv. If he says, I paid on time, then why shouldn't he be Neman? Whoever heard of someone not being Neman? El alav darmalei pratiyum tosmani. Must be, he claims I paid early. What is early? Early is before he built. He says, I paid you for the extra amos. I was a nice guy. I paid you for the extra amos before I built my other wall, my facing wall. Or he says, I knew I was going to build the facing wall, so I'm not a nice guy. But I knew I was going to build the facing wall, and therefore I paid you beforehand so that you wouldn't bother me later. So that proves like a Vayin Rava against Rish Lakish. I'm a little avidish, the part that goes in. Sorry, that proves Rish Lakish against Vayin Rava that he's not believed when he claims to have paid early. The answer is Shani Hach, Hidomer, Miyamer, and Chayvel Erebana. No, this case is different because he says, Miyamer, who says I'll really be Chayev? Meaning it's not an obvious Chayev. If I borrow money from Aryeh and I have to pay him back, that's an obvious fear. Everyone knows that. If you build the wall Dalet Amos, that's an obvious fear. Everyone knows that. But the idea that if you build the wall 7 Amos, and I'm potter, and then all of a sudden I'm minding my own business, I build something in my own chatzar, I have nothing to do with you, and all of a sudden that magically makes me higher for the wall you built 6 months ago, that's not an obvious thing at all. Right? No one knows that. That's very unclear. And that's, you would say, I'll see you in court. Right? Who says that I'm going to be chayiv? And therefore, even a Bayan Rava admit that this guy wouldn't pay because no one would pay something that they're not sure if they're chayiv to pay. That's a pretty good umdah, mm-hmm. Right? Why would I pay money that I might not really owe? Right? I'll say, first when in court, then I'll pay. Here we have a bit of a machlokes rishonim. Now, of course, that's not airtight because maybe the guy could find out if he owes the money. Maybe he could ask his friend to become a chacham or something. Maybe he's a talmud chacham, the Avraham points out. Here we have a bit of machlokas. What does it mean, miyamer de machayv le rabbanan? Not what does it mean, but the following case. Let's just review. Following case. Who are we defending now? We are defending Abayi Barabbah. We're defending a Vayin Rava. Let's see, right? Bechekas shalom nasan
No clue. Why? According to Reish Lakish, it's obviously a special nasa. Because he's not Naaman, but let's say better. Right? Because, nah, he wouldn't pay. Because it's Tofes Mano. Abaye and Rava disagree. They say he wouldn't pay Tofes Mano. So what do they say? They say, no, he wouldn't pay to the Miyamer. Okay. What does Rashi say? Miyamer the Chayler, but Tokach, Afilo Amar Praticha, Bizmani lo Mehem. Even if you say he paid on time, Miyamer the Chayler, but it says Rashi, Abaye and Rava. Says Rashi and most Rishon. I'm not going to list basically everyone, every Rishon except for possibly two I'm going to mention otherwise. Rashi and most Rishon say he wouldn't pay even Bismano because of Miyamar Bechuli. Even Bismano. Of course, how else could you have read it? What does Rashi know? The only way you could have read it. That he wouldn't pay. Tos mano, if it's an unclear chiyav, biz mano, you would. You would find out if you're chayav and pay. Tos mano, even though Abaye and Rava say you would pay tos mano, you'd only pay tos mano if it was a chiyav bar. If it was me had an unclear chiyav miyema, you wouldn't pay tos mano, but maybe biz mano, you would have paid. Right? That's what it sounds like for Rabbi Gershom. It says Rabbi Gershom here. He says, He says twice. He says, what's the case here? Kodem shesamach, and then he says, I'm not chayiv now, when I don't even know if I'll be chayiv later, I'm not going to pay. So Rabbi Gershom is pretty clear. The Ritva is also 100% clear about this. Right, if you look in the No, the Ritva is like Rabbi Gershom, the Yarmulke Rashi. Put the Ritva here someplace. Here it is. What does he say? He says very, very explicitly. Says the Ritva, Sabrahu, Shal Yochel Azar Chiv. Yeah, for sure he's not going to ask for money. So he thinks he's not going to have to pay the Dumba seal yet, and he thinks I'll worry about it then. But if he says praticha la'acher shesamach dinem on the divrei kol, this is only if it's tos manu he's not nemon say pay. But if he claims to have paid after the time, he is nemon. V'yesh omrim that even bizmani you don't nemon like Rashi. Ve'inu mechor reina, he doesn't like it. So the Rebbe Gershom, the Ritva is very explicit. The Rebbe Gershom is pretty explicit. And they're really thus yachid here. They're yadamrat the hafmin of saying this. He says, but he says no. He wouldn't pay. He would pay Tokh's mano because of me Yemar Fahuli. So basically it's machlokas within Abaye and Rava in this idea of me Yemar, is it that whether it's before or after the time, no one believes to say they paid if it was an unclear chiyuv or no. No one would pay early if it was an unclear chiyuv, but on time they would pay. Okay, we'll see how this is, we'll see if this is relevant. What's the halacha? Rav Papa from Rav Yeshua of the Kabbai Barava, Mar Baravashi of the Grish Lakish, the Hill Chazak Grish Lakish, the Allah like Grish Lakish, Chazaka Ein Adam Perea Totsmano. Bafilum Yaspi. You can even collect from Yisomim, meaning the guy owes you money and dies. It's within this man. You can even collect from the Yisomim. What's the Chiddush? Because obviously he didn't pay, it was Totsmano. The Afghan of our brother Parminich, the Solomon Parl was Shlua, and even though normally it's not a fish, you collect from your soul. Of course, you can collect your debts from your soul if there's a mistake. Even though normally someone who, it's a forced Mishnah, someone who collects from the Soman the debt of their father from the estate has to take a Shlua to protect the Soman. Why did the Soman need protecting? In this line, we don't mean only minor Soman.
Even adult Yisomim.
They're not privy to all the information.
Exactly, they're not privy to all the information, right? They don't know how to defend themselves in court because their father died and took some information with them to the Olam HaEmes. Therefore, to protect the Yisomim, who don't necessarily know all the details, they make me swear that I wasn't paid back yet, that he really owes me the money. That's a general rule. But in this case, I can even collect from the Yisomim without swearing. Why? Because Chazaka no one would pay within this month. Therefore, we are sure that he didn't pay me yet, and there's no need even for me to take a shvua, even to protect the Yisomim. Okay, big fish. And that's how we paskin. Now, we paskin that you collect without a shvua. Right? And what does the Rambam have to say about that? The Rambam quotes this psak halacha like Rish Lakish. Pshuto k'mashmo, says the Rambam of Malva Belova. Banefram min ha-yoresh, ben katam min gadol, lo yipara el b'shvua ke'in shal Torah. You have to take a shvua ke'in shal Torah. What does it mean, ke'in shal Torah? That it's not a... Not a shvua's heses. Right? Meaning, if a shvua d'rabbanan, ke'in Torah, not a shvua's heses. It's a big machlokas, like 5 or 6 deos in the Gemara and the Mem. What's the difference between shvua's heses and the real shvua? Shua Sassus is one of the many posts from Shua Sassus. You don't actually have to be Shem Hashem or you don't hold the sacred Torah, etc. It's much lower than the Shua. This is a Shua Drabbanan that's like a Torah Shua, very serious Shua. Okay. Etc. The Imhaya Chov Gizman, but Tov Gizman. Well, what if the Chov had a time, a due date, and you sued within the due date? You partial of a Shua, you collect without a Shua. Just like our Shuya. Okay. Just like our sugya, Tovzman, Chazaka, in on Pari Tovzman, you collect without a Shua. But interestingly, what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Shchinin about our case? If you look in the Rambam, and Hilchos Shchinin says the Rambam in Hilchos Shchinin, Perik Gimel Halacha Beis, he has our case. First he says, if you built 4 amos, then Bechezka Shenosan, our Mishnah. But what about more than our Amos? Bisha Samachlo Okanegdo? Rama says, okay, yeah, Samachlo Okanegdo. It could be you put a wall facing it or you put a wall 90-degree angle with it. Either way, it shows you're building on it. Right? But Amr Nasati Eno Neman. Right? Bechet Shlo Nasan Achi Yavraisha Nasan. Our Mishnah. El Chavir Nishma Ben Kitas Chifetz. What does the Kitas Chifetz mean? You have to hold the Sefer Torah. Meaning it's not Shua's Hesus, right? It's a real Shua. You have to swear because it's full not some of a notman if you didn't call Nishba Venotlin, like all the dinim of Nishba in Venotlin, Achirai and Aslo. The Rambam adds something that is not in our Gemara. The Rambam adds that when I'm collecting because of the Svar of me gamer, right? When I'm collecting the debt from this, because you were so made for the tall kotel, for the top 3 amos, two or three amos of the kotel, or however many amos, maybe it's a 2-story building, then I can collect. Chazaka, you haven't paid. You're not pleased to say you paid, but I need to make a shuas nishba benotel. Right? A shuas nishba benotel. Right? That's disgusting. Subastaf Kei Zayin, and analyzed in the Mishnah, and analyzed by the Gemara also in shuas. Shuas nishba benotel. Now here, what does the Rambam do? He's separating the case of Kotel and the case of Tosmano. Right, what's going on here? Here we have the case of a Chov Tosmano. Here we have the case of the Kotel Lamala Mi Dalet Amos. Why is he Eino Neman lit on karati? Because Chazaka Ein Adam Torea Tosmano. And here, because Chazaka, or is it a word? Because Eino Perea, it shows the Amar. Right, we don't believe you paid for the due date because we pass like there's no one pays early. We don't believe you paid even afterwards
for the high kotel, because we don't believe anyone would have paid if they didn't know if they were going to lose in court.
Isn't, but Bismano is until he goes to the dean. If there was no dean, it's still not Bismano.
No, sure. No, Bismano was after he saw me at the kotel. After he saw me at the kotel, it was Bismano.
Bismano is only if he knows he has to pay. Okay. It's a clear thing.
That's exactly what Rashi is saying, right? What's Rashi saying? That, but you're adding something. You're adding something. You might be right. I would say you're right according to most Rishonim, not the Rambam, though. But you're adding something. You're adding that it's not called Bisman until you go to court. But that's not what the Rishonim assume. They assume that it's called, but it's a machlokes in semantics, though. They assume it's called Bisman as soon as you're chayv to pay. When you're chayv to pay, when you're sumach the kotel. But it doesn't matter whether it's called Bisman or not. The point is that there are two reasons why a guy wouldn't pay. I wouldn't pay because it's written here that I have plenty of time to pay. And why should I pay early? I wouldn't pay because why should I pay until Bezin Paskin's against me? Okay, call it mono, don't call it mono. It doesn't really matter that much necessarily. Two different svaras. Now, here's the question. What?
Does Rambam say anything?
No, he doesn't. He didn't say anything. Okay. But let's assume, I mean, I don't have a different Hesber, unless you do.
Ha'im. Svaras, the Shava, the Litol. Here, the answer is clearly no, right? Even from Yisrael. Why? Because we're sure he didn't pay. There's no need for a shvua. What about this case? So, says the Rambam. Let's see there. Do I have to swear that it wasn't paid back before I collect? Here's clearly no. What would you have thought logically in the case of our Mishnah? Do you have to swear or do you not have to swear when you collect? Have to swear or not? You would have thought no. Moshe would have thought no. Not the only Moshe would have thought no, but not all Moshe's think that. Why not? Why not? Why do you think no? Exactly. Shmi Yemar is stronger than Chazakim and Tarekhovmano. Who says that? What? The Adraman, the Rabban. Say. The Yad Ramah and the Ramban, they say no. Why? Because Mi Yemar is even stronger than Tosmano. How do I know Mi Yemar is stronger than Tosmano? A fine Rava thing, you can claim to pay Tosmano, but I still think you can't claim you're paying the piece of Mi Yemar. Right? What's the proof? Proof. Let's see. A fine Rava. Talks mano, he's nemon liton harati, but in the case of the miyemar, ain't no nemon. That proves miyemar is a stronger proof than talks mano. If talks mano is enough to get me out of a shmo, so is miyemar. We would all have said that left to our own druthers. But what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says explicitly, yes, nishvam and kitas chifel, but the chifel and don't tell. We'll call him his bomb and open. There's a total chiyuv d'rabbanan to swear in this case. So, and not just swear shuvas hesed. Swear to keep that same person. Who's bomb and open? So, what is pshat? That's everyone's problem with the Rambam. The Rambam knows the Rambam. Everyone knows the Rambam. And they all say it's impossible. It can't be the most ridiculous thing they ever heard in their life. Because it's a kapha chomer. It's a culture game. Mi Yemar is stronger than Totsmano. Totsmano is enough to pop me from Shua. Mi Yemar, right? Again, Totsmano, I'm 90% sure he didn't pay. But Mi Yemar is even stronger. 91% sure he didn't pay. So 90% is enough, but I feel like better. Shua, culture game, 91%. Okay, that did that. It's difficult to start. So,
How are we going to defend the Rambam? Anyone want to defend the Rambam? Who wants to defend the Rambam? Right? You want the rope to cry? That's been on the story. Who wants to defend the Rambam? What's the shot on the Rambam? What?
It could be that it's considered
Acher's mano, meaning here the Rambam doesn't say you claim to have paid early, right? You claim to have paid, but it's not afterwards. So, okay, but whose shot does that work according to? Rashi or the Rebbe Gershom?
The Chassam is two different answers to different places. This.
They're not completely dissimilar, but they're different. The Chassam Sofer on the Shulchan Aruch, yeah, they did not, they only put half the Chassam Sofer on the Shulchan Aruch on Bar Ilan so far, and that doesn't include Choshen Mishpat, so I couldn't put it on the Torah sheets. And for some strange reason, if anyone, you know, knows where to, you know, put like customer service complaints, Safaria put all of the Chassam Sofer on Shulchan Aruch, including Choshen Mishpat, but not, they left out the center. So, but if you just open up a standard, I don't think we have a whole set of sheets.
You know, we only have here,
but if you would open up a standard Shulchan Aruch, you'd find a Chassam Sofer there in small print on the side. The Chassam Sofer on Shulchan Aruch answer is based on Rebbe Gershom. The one on the Korshi. You have to check if you have it someplace. What are you looking at? Okay, just look at, okay, you can look at the page if you want, or you could just believe me. Says the Chassam Sofer on the Shulchan Aruch, it should be, obviously, if you open up a PDF on Ozer, it'll be there. He says, this works based on the Rebbe Gershom.
I mean, there are many answers.
It works based on the Rebbe Gershom. The Chassam Sofer on the Shulchan Aruch says, if you hold, he does a quote from Rebbe Gershom and the Ritva, then you have no problem. Because what comes out? Our Gemara was only talking about Mi Yemar and Tosmano. Mi Yemar Tosmano is stronger proof than just Tosmano. The fact that it was an unclear fee of and early is more of a proof you didn't pay than if it was just early. But Mi Yemar is a weaker proof than Tosmano. And our Gemara was discussing that, was discussing the case of Mi Yemar Tosmano. Yeah, if it's early and unclear, that's better proof that you haven't paid than just being early. But if it's already late and unclear, then that's a weaker proof than if it's early. Therefore, there's no steer whatsoever. The Rambam admits that if you say it was a case of the raised kotel, the raised mechitza, and it was Tosmani, he wouldn't be having like that shmua, but Tosmani looked with the shmua. That's what Sam Sober says on the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, there are many other answers. Whoever wants to give me answers, the Lechem Mishnah addresses this explicitly. Says the Lechem Mishnah in Hilchos Shechinim. Says the Lechem Mishnah in, it's a little funny in some editions of, meaning the traditional editions of the Shulchan Aruch, the Lechem Mishnah, they actually ask halacha aleph. It's on halacha beis aleph. So that's why I think in the Bar Ilan you won't find any Lechem Mishnah on this Rambam, because the Lechem Mishnah, the Bar Ilan follows the old text of the Rambam, where they mistakenly said it was halacha aleph for no sorry, just a printing mistake. Any case, what does the Lechem Mishnah say? The Lechem Mishnah says, doesn't the Gemara say that Miyemar is like Tosamano?
Okay,
Okay, says the Lecha Mishnah. Well, says the Lecha Mishnah. Well, yes, when the Gemara equated, Gemara didn't just equate. Gemara said it's even stronger. When the Gemara equated Miyimar with Tos Mano, that was L'inyan the Tashlumin. But L'inyan the Shvuah not. Okay, this is where most people are going to go. Says the Lecha Mishnah has a very different approach. Says the Lecha Mishnah, no. L'inyan Tashlumin, then Miyimar is even stronger, or at least as strong, right? It's stronger according to Rabbi Yehuda. Look, yes, it's strong, but at least as strong, right? Because if it's strong, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't say there's luck, there's the point, so at least as strong. As Tos Mano. But the Inyan Shvua, Miyemar, is weaker than Tos Mano, and that's why I still have to swear. Okay, what's funny with the Lecha Mishnah is he doesn't really explain why, meaning the Chor proof is proof. Why do you have to pay me? Because I have proof that you can make your own. Why can you collect it out of Shlomo? Because I have proof that you don't know. Why the Inyan Tashlumin should be Yemar, at least the strong, if not stronger, than Tos Mano, but the Inyan Tashlumin or not? That's the mystery yet. South, theoretically, someone could have said a third answer, which I didn't find explicitly. I'm not sure if someone who said this has it. You don't know what I can say yet. No. Now, my meaning is that I claim to know what you're going to say.
Oh, okay.
You're not supposed to know what I'm going to say. I'll just say it. Yes. But it's not that I can guess that I see it on my little face. If I couldn't see your face, I'd have no idea. Just have a little guy's face, what I'm going to say. So theoretically, you could have said something else. You could have defended the round on the third way. The Sam Sofer says, no, go back to Rabbi Gershon of the Ritva, even though he didn't know them, and say, the Gemara never at Miyemar was such a strong Svar. No, Miyemar is only good Svar if it's also Tos Mano. But in the round case, it's not Tos Mano, Miyemar is a Svar, but a weaker Svar. Or you can say, no, Leading Tashlum is different than Leading Shvua, but we have to figure out why. Theoretically, there's something else. This is all Machlokes, you know, by Rav and Rishwam. They aren't in psychology. This is the old Machlokes, right? Or Rav, a lot of arguing with Sias or only in Din. Right, but if we assume they're allowed to argue also with CS theoretically, what you could have said is, and I'm sure some of the receptors has this, you know, it's pretty obvious and technical. You could say, no, that the Amoraim argued in psychology. Lefi Abaye Virava Mi Yemar. It's stronger than Tos Mano. But the Fi Reish Lakish, the Yemar, is weaker than Tos Mano. They go about psychology. According to Rava, someone who the Chiyav is not 100% clear is less likely to pay than someone before the dude whose Chiyav is not due. According to Reish Lakish, no. Someone whose chiyuv is not due is less likely to pay than someone whose chiyuv is unclear. And therefore, by Rava said, Miyemar is the stronger proof. He's never say pay Tos Mano, but not never say pay if it's Miyemar. For Rish Lakish, no, Miyemar is a weaker proof. Either way, he's not never say pay, but if he says pay Tos Mano, his claim is, we're so sure he's lying, he's not that Shua, he claims that pay in the case of Miyemar, he'll likely still make a Shua. Okay. Now, what's interesting is the Lecha Mishnah is intriguing. Why would it be that the Inyan Shvuah we act different than the Inyan Tashlumin? That's an intriguing Lecha Mishnah. What's the Pshat in the Lecha Mishnah? The truth is the Chasam Sofer on Shas gives a totally different answer than the Chasam Sofer on Shulchan Aruch, which is not a problem because the Derech Halima of the Chasam Sofer is like stories you've heard about the Rav. He wasn't interested in like having like a final product of understanding the true Pshat and all of Shas. He was interested in making Chidushi Torah. And every time the Chasam Sofer taught him a Sechet, he would pretend that he would not allow himself to remember anything he said last time he taught the Sechet and start from scratch. It's even a story someone writes, I forget who, someone's writing like a travel diary. They once went to Pressburg, was it? And they went to the Yeshiva Chasam Sofer and he was starting the Sechet. started for the Mishnah, and they're like, I can't believe this guy's the God of Lador. He doesn't even know Peshat in the Mishnah, and he's trying to does the Mishnah mean this? It mean that? I don't know. Let's look at Rashi. That was his Derech Halima. He always started once, like the Rav. He all started from scratch and came up with a new Peshat. And then realized, so it's not, it's very Mishnah. It's very Ophiyamiya of Sam Sofer, characteristic of Sam Sofer, that he says different Peshat in different books. Anyway, in Shas, even in Shas, there's one Masechet, maybe Gittin, where they have two different years Shira from him. Side point of some software is very cool. The in Shas, he goes with the Lechemish. He doesn't quote the Lechemish. He just goes with that. And he says, but he says something very funny. He quotes the Ramah, not according to what I think the plain meaning of the Ramah. He somehow decides to interpret the Ramah a little different. The Yad Ramah is a question. How can you say Miyamer Mukhaili Rabbanah that he's not going to pay? Because how can you say he's not going to pay because he doesn't know if he's chayav? What if he's a Talmud Chacham? What if he's a Talmud Chacham and he knows the Mishnah? So the Yad Ramah says no. But even a Talmud Chacham, since he knows that most people don't know this din, he still says, what am I going to pay? Let's wait for him to sue me in court and see what happens. Okay. Meaning once most people don't know the din, then everyone feels like we can wait till we go to court. He reads the Yad Ramah a little different. He says, "Low plug. Really, a Talmud Chacham should be neman to say he paid Tos Mano. Sorry, to be neman to say he paid for the high wall, for the raised wall, because he knows that he's chayiv. He doesn't say the game of the chayiv run. He says, I know they're running chayiv. I'm a Talmud Chacham. But we make a low plug on the Talmud Chacham. So he says, because I was going to say, when it comes to low plug, there's a difference between Tashlumen and Shua. When it comes to whether or not you have to pay, a din with a low plug is very powerful. Yeah, here's where, I'm not sure it's where we get it. I'm not sure I'm going to put it on the board. But he said, when it comes to whether you have to pay, on the one hand, no one pays Tos Mano. On the other hand, people are even less likely to pay an unclear chiyuv, but a Talmud Chacham might if you say a low plug. Okay, since most people are less likely to pay, that is even more powerful than Tos Mano. And we even extend it in the low plug. But when it comes to Shmua, most people are even less likely to pay. But a Talmud Chacham might pay. Talmud Chacham might pay. Maybe for a Talmud Chacham, you should at least take a Shua. And therefore, he even sort of implies we take the low plug in the opposite direction. And perhaps you can take the low plug in the opposite direction. One second. He's on the Torah here.
Who's the Talmud Chacham? Which one? The Tobey or the Nitva?
The Nitva. The guy who sewed the Kotel. Right? That's what he says. He says, I don't know what the question is. Since maybe he's a Talmud Chacham and it's only a low plug, then we make a Shvuah. What he basically is saying is this. Because of a low plug, we'll make someone pay. But we won't leave out of the Shvuah because of a low plug. Adra, we'll make everyone take Shvuah because of a low plug. Okay, that's sort of his chaff is that he reads into the Ramah, there's an idiot of the low plug. It's not exactly what I read. Ramah says, the Sam Sofer, that's why. I don't love this. I'm going to like the M&S a little better. A lot. He says for Tashlumen, low plug is Mechayev him to pay, but for Shmua, low plug is Mechayev him to swear. Meaning, for Tashlumen, low plug, if you go to Chumra, you go. We make it pay more for Shua, for low Shua, we leave it with the Chumra. Let's say a little bit of Sam Sofer. What does Sam Sofer say? He says, for an Am Ha'aretz, Niyemar is Chumra. He doesn't even know he's Chayim. Why would he pay? For a Talmud Chacham, Tos Mano is stronger. He would pay even if it was unclear. He's a Talmud Chacham. No, he would pay Tos Mano. So what do we say? When it comes to Tashlum, when we say low plug, most people are harassed. We say low plug, and therefore the Yemar is stronger than Tos Mano. But for Shmua, like, what if it hurts to make someone swear? Why not be extra careful and make them swear? And therefore we say, since for a Talmud Chacham, we should make them swear. Because after all, maybe we should make you swear and collect, because maybe he really did pay. Therefore, make everyone swear. Okay, that's the stuff. So far, you can read it inside. I want to answer with the Ibn Azal personally. The Ibn Azal, not in order to understand the Ibn Azal, we have to do the basic lamedas of the sugya. What is the basic lamedas of the sugya? In my humble opinion, feel free to disagree, and it's really subject to saying what the basic lamedas. Depends what I put more about on the Makor sheet. But I think the basic lamedas of the actual sugya, I mean, there's lots of other interesting sugyas that come up, is obviously Chazakin and Toks Mano. It's a funny thing, and I think all the Akronim ask the same funny question. I am suing Akronim. Right? He owes me money. It's due Rosh Chodesh Kislev. He claims he already paid. I claim he didn't pay. I win because Chazaka, he wouldn't have paid me already. Okay. What is Chazaka? What does it mean, Chazaka, he didn't pay already? Do we know? Do we have Adam that he didn't pay already? How do we know he didn't pay already? Because human nature is that people don't pay early. That's like a rove. Most people don't pay early, right? It's not evidence. It's just an assumption, not like a rove. Most people are this, most are that, etc. Emotzi and mamon al pi rove. Why is this strong enough to emotzi mamon? It's just an assumption about psychology. I even said I'm not convinced of this assumption. I don't know. If it was up to me, I would have picked a buying rub. It's not up to me. But if it was up to me, you know, if I was a reform rabbi instead of Orthodox, I would rewrite the Jewish code of law and write a bayin rabba, passing like a bayin rabba. I don't know, maybe some people like to pay early. So, but we pass like Rish Lakish Tena. But really? No one in the world would ever pay their debt early? What if you found a few people who paid early? Oh, but it's a rov. Generally, people wouldn't pay early. Okay, how am I moti mama from Ariel P. Rov? That's the question. How am I moti mama of Peter's Chazaka Inam Kratos Mano? And Chazak is like a rove. As a matter of fact, Chazak is even weaker than a rove. Because what rule do we have that we discussed last year? Who was here last year? Can I hold responsible? Ruv Chazak or Ruv Adif, right? So what's pshat? So there are two.
Doesn't the rove make the metzias, and then the metzias makes what you have to happen?
That's a case where, like, we want to know what happened. Like, we want to know, like, what assumptions you have when you made your contract. So the LP rove, you all assumed you were following the normal rule there for the world of the world, and then that's a badai. But over here, did you pay? Did you not pay? The rove didn't make anything happen. Either you paid or you didn't pay. We want the whole question is: I claim he didn't pay. He claims he paid. And what happened? Neither of us have aid him. Neither of us have anything. I'm the motzi. He's the motzi. Normally, motzi would call it a raya. But I say I have a raya that he didn't pay. What's my raya? My raya is the chazaka that he didn't pay. How is that chazaka strong enough to be multi mamon? And here we have a machlokas. Is this chazaka strong enough to be multi mamon or not? Who says it's strong enough to be multi mamon? The Chasam Sofer. Says the Chasam Sofer on Daf Heyim and Beis. He says, hold on, Rove's not multi mamon. And chazaka is weaker than rove. How is chazaka multi mamon? So he points out there are two kinds of chazakas and shas. We discussed this last year, although I see most of us who are here in person here last year. Those who are on Zoom, you know, can sort of hide and not get called on. Now I know why everyone's staying on Zoom. Yes, rove is better than chazaka. But what kind of chazaka is rove better than? We say ruba chazaka or ruba adif. What kind of chazaka was the Nora talking about? Exactly, chazaka de meikara, status quo. There's a rule, status quo, we assume things change the same until proven otherwise. And then there's a rove that it changed, the rove beats the chazaka. That's not the chazaka we're dealing with here. They're not chazaka of status quo. Like, if it was tame, it stays tame. If it was tahar, it stays tahar. If it was asr, it stays asr, etc. You know, this is not, you know, if she was single, she stays single until proven otherwise. That's not the kind of chazaka we have here. This chazaka about human nature. This chazaka is really more like a rove, right? The normal way things work is that people act in a certain way. So this is stronger than a chazaka de meikara, meaning a status quo chazaka. Okay, but it still seems more like a rove. Is it stronger than a rove? Says the Chasam Sofer, yes, it's even stronger than a rove. That's why it's multi-mom.
this, which is also Rabbi Akiva Iger's first side, and that tshuva, you know, the very complicated tshuva. That's why I put some in smaller fonts, so we can just read the parts relevant to us, because it's too hard. You know, it's the context is very complicated. Because that's what Rabbi Akiva Iger said the first is tshuva. Chazak is adif on a rov. Why? The rov and motzi and money, but chazak and motzi and. This chazak is better than rov. You're not motzi on with rov, but you are motzi on with this chazaka. So it's better than rov. What makes it better than rov? So what makes it better than rov? So here, you know, you could say, look, the Gra has a lashon. I'm not sure what to make of it. The Gra in the Torah sheet has a lashon where he says, and then he leaves the bitzar heel. He says, chazaka hu kimo edim. Ah, chazaka is like edim. Doesn't mean everything called chazaka and shas like edim. This chazaka is like edim. Why does he think this chazaka is as strong as edim? Because it's multimamon. Okay, someone fill in some words. If you say chazaka is like edim, what catchphrase would you want to use? Anan sadi. Anan sadi, we're edim. What is anan sadi? Anan sadi means we're 100% sure. We know 100%. Anan sadi. Right? As a matter of fact, remember Tosos brought up anan sadi in the Bezim and Aleph? Tosos and Rasul Fika, didn't he say at the end? The anan sadi, remember, so it's my folks, you showed him, I shouldn't disagree. Anan sadi shalasa'u levado. Anan sadi, that one guy didn't build a regular case of a wall, that they both built the wall equally. And what's the point of anan sadi? No, it's mamish like Adrian. That's what he says. Sometimes an assumption about human nature is so strong that it's an anan sadi. It's like Adrian. The Gra has a problem. If you say that it's an anan sadi, then why does the Gemara ask the next Gemara that we're about to get to? I mean, not about to get to today. To the that. Do we say Migo against this Chazaka or not? Everyone who knows you don't say Migo against Edom. Yeah, it's a good kasha, maybe you'd have to say, oh, okay, there's only one side of the Baya. But you could say this is so strong your multi mamon. Why? Because we're just 100% sure it's an Anan Sadi. I think the Chassam Sofer is trying to escape that. And even the Gra, you know, and not sure how much he, because then he says, leave the Tzar Ian, it's more of a straw man than the Gra, not what he's told. I think the Chassam Sofer is trying to be more clever than that. What is the Chazam Sofer? They says Chazaka Shmaiti Cheskes Minigo Olam. The Prova goes in there. Adet Meirov. Why is this Chazaka Adet Meirov? He doesn't say because it's an Anan Sadi we're 100% sure. He says something interesting. What does Rove mean? Rove means, and again, hopefully this will be familiar to some of us who are discussing this last year. I'm not going to quote the sugyas from last year, but Rove means there's different things in the world. There's 80% of them are this way, 20% of them are that way. That's what a rove means. Right? He says, the hasuk ika me'uta, the zabno shchita. What's the case of aim multi and moment of rove? Right? I buy a cow from an ox from Dovi. I buy an ox from Dovi, and it turns out to be wild and uncontrollable. And I say, I want my money back, mekartos, I can't use it for plowing. And Dobi says, what do you mean for plowing? I thought you wanted to shecht it. You know, it's uncontrollable. Who cares? Every ox doesn't want to be shechted. So you get a big guy to hold it down and you shecht it and you're done. Once it's shechted, it's tame. So I say, but what do you mean? I want my money back because most. Okay, or he wants to get the money. I want my money back because most people buy oxen for plowing. Dobi says, aim will see a moment off your rope. Some people buy oxen for shechting. And therefore, he wins. And I'm just going to help you, Rove. He says, there's a Rove and a Miot. We can go to the shuk. And he doesn't mean Rove the Ika. Come on. It doesn't mean it's something we can count in front of us of a limited group. But he means we can go to the shuk. We can do a statistical survey. And we realize in the world, 4 out of every 5 people buy oxen for plowing. 1 out of every 5 people buys oxen for shechting. There is a clear Miot out there. Over here, he's saying, Hachalu ikma miyuta de parabatos mano. There's no clear miyut of parabatos mano. What's he saying? I think this is what he's saying. A chazaka of human nature, right? What is he saying? He's saying this is called a chazaka mcheskes minig olam. There's a difference in a chazaka of human nature and a rove. A rove means there's no human nature one way or the other. Just circumstances are that some people are this way, some people are that way, some people need this kind of ox, some people need that kind of ox. It's not a law of psychology. It's not a law of psychology what kind of ox you want.
It's just the way it works out. It's mostly this and mostly not that. You know, that's not a law of psychology. Over here, this is a law of psychology. In a room, there's a miut kavua. There's a presence of miut. There's integrity to the miut. And therefore, you can't be motzi ma'on al pi rov. But in this chazaka, it's not that, there are some people, you know, the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, they wouldn't pay tos ma'ano, you know, but only the Yemenites, they would pay tos ma'ano. Most people are Yemenites. Okay, that would be hard. Just look at who the guy was. Okay, whatever. It's not like we can look at the world and say, oh, here, these are like the 70% of people who wouldn't pay tos ma'ano, the 30% who would. No, everyone's in the same boat. It's just natural that people wouldn't pay tos ma'ano unless something weird happened and they did pay tos ma'ano. But there's no miut kavua because not there are groups of people we can divide in the world. In this room, everyone pays tos ma'ano. On that side, doesn't pay tos ma'ano. On that side, no. It's human nature. No one usually pays tos ma'ano unless there's some reason that makes them, unless something weird happens that makes them. There's no kavios to the miut, unlike the classic case of rule. Okay, this needs to be tested in every certain shots, as you can imagine. But he would say, that's why these chazakas of your nature are so powerful, right? And that's even, perhaps, I suggested, why do we call it a rove? Why do we call it a chazaka? So what does chazaka mean? Not that it's a status quo chazaka, that's very weak. Chazaka means this is what we assume unless something weird happens. Rove. Rove means, oh, you could normally do this, you could normally do that, we just don't know which group this guy's from. Chazaka means, no. Unless there's some reason, this is what everyone will do. That's stronger than a rove because there's no kvius to the miut. The miut does not have a substantial presence. The miut is more of a theoretical possibility. And even if the numbers are the same, he's not saying it's an anansani. He's not saying, well, rove is 51% and this is 99%. No, that's called anansani. I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying is that a rove is 80% and this is 80%. The difference is it's a halachic difference, not a practical difference. In a rove, you can identify 80%, identify 20%, you just don't know which this guy is from. Then the 20% has kashivas. You can't ignore it. You can't say, oh, we assume you're from the rove. So what about all this miya floating around? Over here, everyone's from the 80%. All people are from the 80% who wouldn't pay early. However, some of the time, something might happen that would cause them to pay early. You never know, you know, depending on the circumstances. But since he can't say, there's a mere kavua, he's saying, there's a mere possibility that I pay tos money. That's not as strong as a mere kavua. And therefore, it's not that we're not looking mamon based on probability. We are looking mamon based on probability. Just, it depends. We are looking mamon based on 80% probability. After all, if I go to court and I sue you, and two dayanim say you're chayim, one says you're putter, 67% probability we're looking mamon, right? We're just not multi-mama based on probability when the miut is kavua. And therefore, here the miut isn't kavua. So I think these are sort of two ways to view if basically we had our question. It's a part. Maybe we'll have to put that on the board again next time. But you see where I'm going, this chakira. One derech is to say, this chazaka is stronger than a rove, and that's why it's multi-moment. It's multi-moment, it's very powerful. Either then tzius, it's 99.9%, it's anansadi, it's so super powerful because we're such good psychologists that we know the tzius really, really well. What do you think? No, maybe the tzius, it's only the same 90% as everything else. But formally, since the miyad is not kavua, there aren't a bunch of Purim Tov Zmano floating around, just that you never know what the circumstances are. Therefore, the miyad is weaker, and if the miyad is weaker, you can see moments, it doesn't have a strong miyad backing him up. That's all within one derech. What's the other derech? The other derech is where Kiva Iger says in the end, maybe this is not really strong enough to milti moment. That's not getting into Tov Zmano, but you know what? Zimnin, sometimes the guy might be for Tos Ma'ano. If I rub aren't crazy, sometimes circumstances worth it for guy to be for Tos Ma'ano. Is it just a regular rule that we're not multi-mammon based on? However, we're multi-mammon because we have some another reason to be multi-mammon. It's It's not that chazak and imperet of tzmano is so strong. There's another reason we won't see mamon. What's the other reason we won't see mamon? Cheskas chiyav, right? And that's perhaps a status quo, right? That's what Rikiv Eger ends with. He says, really, maybe this chazak is better than a rove, or maybe not, says Rikiv Eger in the tshuva. No, actually, a rove is better than this chazaka. This chazaka is actually weaker than a rove. He could have said equal, but that's, yes, a different thing. So, why is it multi mammon if it's very weak? Ah, because there's really another reason we're multi mammon. What's the other reason we're multi mammon? Status quo. We know he owes me money. We don't know if he paid. Ah, chazaka owes me money. So, here's the question, who has to prove? Do I have to prove that you didn't pay, or do you have to prove that you paid? Right, that's really the question here. Right, that's really the question here. And we'll have to pick up with that Amir Tzashem next time. Okay, I hope I'm not being mean. The end of my sentence, right? I hope I'm not being mean because some of the guys did ask for a little slowing down. A little break, etc. I do want to finish these mikoros. See, we'll make a compromise. Compromise is good. The compromise is that some of the guys want a little time to catch up, the chazer, etc. They were counting on the fact that when I go to America, I cancel a shir, and they didn't know me well enough. It's all psychology. If they'd known in advance, that would be one thing. But once they're counting on canceling a shir, then it's hard to not cancel that shir. They don't know that I looked for a flight that was leaving noon on Sunday and landing Monday morning, so that I could take a cab straight to Gruss, catch the late Shacharis in Hanichei, and come straight to Shir, except that the Chagasmicha is in the afternoon, so it wasn't going to work out. Anyway, what we'll do is, the compromise is, I won't give new Makaros. You know, I want to. I'll give guys a chance to chazer a little, to catch up, to whatever they want to do. I won't give new Makaros. We'll just finish these Makaros. Yeah, maybe I'll talk outside about a few things tying to these makoros. We'll just finish these makoros on Tuesday. That'll be the compromise. On Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, again, scheduling change, we'll just finish these makoros. It'll be, let's say it'll be a shorter shear, but we never. What?
So 9 o'clock.
Sorry, okay. Anyway, Tuesday, first thing in the morning, we'll just finish these makoros. And and that way everyone will have some catch-up time. And then we'll give the next makoros after Tuesday's shear. Okay, if anyone wants it in advance.
Does Tuesday have a din of Monday? Yeah, or does it have a din of Thursday?
Tuesday is a din of Monday. But it'll be less than an hour and a half. So I'm just finishing this off. It'll be a few moments.
Yeah. but some of us know you very well.
With a few tangents now, all of a sudden the shoes works. It shouldn't be an easy one.
Yeah.
I give Zach the right to stop me after an hour and a half. I give Yoni the right.
Okay. There's no chazuk of how long shear is on a Tuesday. It's not.
Yes. Anyway, so again, as you heard, I'm going to America. I'll be back. So instead of Monday 11:30, I'll see you Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and we'll just finish up these makoros. If someone's really bored and has nothing to do, send me an email or a WhatsApp, and I have plenty up my sleeve.